members are present, with the exception of Finance Manager Brightstone.
Thank you. This is the time in the in our meeting where we ask for public comment. I don't see public here, so at this point I will close. Does anybody want to speak on anything that's not on the agenda? Okay, hearing none, I will close the public comment. Minutes.
Move approval of the wastewater minutes from August 18th.
Right, second.
Good. Moved and seconded. Any changes or discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Passed. Presentation. Staff.
No water and wastewater update that would be other than what's contained within the discussion items.
Okay. Discussion item, D1.
I'm going to turn that over to Greg. He's going to give the Herwood
show. Hey, Greg.
Several items.
This was in your agenda report, except there was one page missing in your agenda report. So I just retweeted it from your agenda report and wanted to go over it here. So we're kicking off the master plan. We have a master plan update for you in a few minutes after this. But I want to get everybody on the same page in terms of what the plan does. Okay, so the first thing is, the plan says, based on your community, how many people are in your community, how many homes you have, this is how big a treatment plan you're going to need. How we got here last time is we said, okay, we did the plan in 2013. We said, this is what the flow is right now. We're measuring it right now. This is what the flow is for all the people that are here already. So this is what we're getting right now at the front door. And then there was a projection of growth provided by the town that talked about how many new homes were planned, how many more people were going to come here. And so we took the existing flow, and we added more growth to it, and came up with a new flow that the plan was designed to. Well, we have to repeat that exercise, and the two tricky parts of that exercise are, well, our existing flow has changed, and is new work going to come in, you know, these things we just talked about, so how many homes are truly still coming or planned and discovered yet? So the first page here I wanted to show you is the table from the original master plan that was final. We had an existing flow of 1.75 million gallons per day. That's the first number in the table, first left-hand corner. And then we had an incremental load for a future incremental load. So that incremental load was for new homes, new construction. And we had an original draft where we estimated that 0.55 million gallons. But then Hoffman came screaming to the door, and other people came screaming, what about me, what about me? And we bumped that number. So it went up to 0.6. And that gave us a total flow for the final draft of 2.30, which provides up to 2.35. So that's how we got to what was the flow for the plan. Okay? So if you turn the page, what you see here is what was our incremental growth? What was it? So we had 600, at the time in 2013, we had 600 approved but not yet built lots. Those, they had been given approval, but they weren't built yet. These were part of Hoffman's lots. Then we had, there's 55 at the time, undeveloped lots in Discovery Bay. Pantages was hanging around and said they wanted 300 lots. Newport Point was hanging around 5 years ago and said they had 70 lots. This was the one villages. Hoffman came rolling in and said, hey, I got Village 5 floating around here. I want 80 lots for that. Or some agreement said they need 80 lots for that. We had a golf course, some 5-acre lots, and whatnot. So we still had a projection of 123, but Hoffman came in and added 19 for evidence. We added a few. We ended up with 1,264.
What's evidence?
Evans was, isn't that some 5-acre things over here off of Pixar? Isn't that Evans?
Or the Mariners churches.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Where they sell the Christmas trees.
And then there is still an undeveloped business park in town. So we had 45 units for the undeveloped business park. Marsh Creek offices was undeveloped at the time. And we had a little commercial left on Highway 4. Okay, so those are the things that we looked towards the future and said, in 2013, these were all the things that we wanted included in the plan. You know, this is stuff that wasn't here yet, but we want to make sure the plan accommodated for long and short. And if you go to the next page, you just see the original numbers before the revisions, and then you see a land use map on the last page.
Okay.
So this was the land use map for Town Discovery Bay, and the red outline is your service district. Okay. This is your community, essentially. Now, this was a take from the county, and this is what was used for the master plan. So basically, what we did is, for the few undeveloped areas, like the commercial on the highway and stuff like that, we got some acreage, and we just took this land use and said, okay, here's a typical number for that kind of acreage. So the most important element going forth, I don't think this land use has changed much, but if anything has changed, we have to establish it now. Need to get everybody on the same page. Okay. So, in just a second, you're going to jump in. Give me 1 second. So, the first thing we have to decide currently that we're going to struggle with is we're going to look at the existing flow at the treatment plant. That's changed. You know, even though we added more people since 2013, flows have gone down, right? Because we have water conservation, some other things have happened. Now, personally, VOD loading should gone up because we did add more people, but we're still trying to resolve that issue at the treatment plant. But flows have gone down. We all know that. That's clear. We think loading may have gone up. We're not clear. We don't have the data. We're trying to figure that out. But we're going to work with the technical team to establish what's the current flow. All right. Then there's going to be a policy decision that has to be made. The flow used to be 1.75. It was 1.75 for years. We measured it. Now it's something less. Is it ever going to go back to 1.75? At the drought ever ends, there are policy changes? I don't know. But, you know, all we can know is what's happening right now. We're not crystal ball readers. We have to just make the best decision we have. So a policy decision is going to have to be made. You used to be here. You're now here. Do we redesign for here, assume this will never happen again? Or do we hedge it? Or do we just know we need to account for this happening? So that's the one thing about flow, the current flow. The next thing we need to know is, okay, we said 1,264 units are left undeveloped in Discovery Bay in 2013. Are they still left undeveloped? Are there any changes to this development plan? And if so, we need to know what they are. But that comes from the town. That's not an engineering technical thing. That's a town, we need a building thing, you know, kind of thing. And have these lots been developed? So there's going to be an input necessary in the next month, from the town as to what's left to develop, what's going to be included on the list of things that are undeveloped. You mentioned Jacquini. Jacquini was hanging around when we did this plan too, but basically it was so big, it was such a big impact on the treatment plan that we said, they're out, and if they want in, they'll have to do their own special study. Because they're so big, you can't plan for them. They're so big, they're just going to have to figure out what they need when they have their act together. And they know, you know. So, plus they're also outside their urban limit.
No, they're inside their urban limit.
Inside their urban limit, but outside their zone influence.
Our zone to provide services.
Right,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, as a kickoff to the master plan, this is the town staff. Obviously, I'll help, you know, whatever. But so I need to work with Virgil. Whoever's going to say, this is the home we want to come. Because what happened last time, we went and did a plan, and then the community showed up and said, what about me? What about me? I mean, every developer that ever had a development dream ever showed up and said, what about my house? Or what about my lot? You know, kind of thing. And so those are the things that we have to decide. Do we include them or not include them, or make any changes, or stick with this list? And off of this list, what's been developed? Watch.
If you want to follow me, go to that table that Gregory had handed out, table A1 that showed residential homes, the number 600-722. Go to that page.
It's the second page.
Yes, second page. I already did the homework already. I went to you.
Huh? Somebody did homework.
Somebody did homework.
All right.
That's what Mike hired me for, is to do the homework.
All right.
So anyway, out of that 722, now it's reduced to 116. We have built quite a few homes already to date. So left to be under-approved is 116. And I broke it down, 40 in the lakes for villages 4 and 5, mainly village 5. 64 on Lake Shore, if you remember, the senior homes or the condos next to the fire station that never got built. I don't know if it ever get built, but that's been approved for a quantity of 64. And then there was a 12 lot in Village 1 by the elementary school that was supposed to be used dedicated for the community center. But it's 12 lots there. So I came up with 116 there. Then I go to the next number, undeveloped lots in Discovery Bay proper, and it's 44 now. That number I'm going to probably rechange. I put a question mark for me. I'm going to do some more work on that, but right now, that's what that is.
Which one was that?
In all of Discovery Bay, 44.
The ones that are out of the point still have in
the book. Pantages is still valid. Newport Point is still valid. The villages, I treat that 80 as that. I treated that. They've been talking about building 80 condos / apartments right here. And that's what I figured, that's where that number stays at. Yeah. And then your golf course only has 2 lots instead of 13 lots. And the 5-acre lots, I'm not sure what that means. We do have a 5-acre lot up front in the entrance that's never been developed.
That's rated commercial, though, isn't it?
Pardon me, that's commercial.
Okay. That's why we've got 5 acres.
Yeah, and that's why it's down below. And that way, 5-acre lots in the residential, I don't have any that I'm aware of. So my end, I crossed that out.
Which side is that lot? That lot that has the issue over there by, you know, that what's his name is looking at. The Prince was representing at the end of by the marsh. That big lot on the back side back there that has the gate.
Oh, it's only 2 acres.
It's only 2 acres.
They had a. You're talking Newport Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah, just 2 acres. You can only build 1 or 2 homes there.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
That won't be a problem.
So I wondered if that was what this 5-acre lot was.
No, it's just a hair under 2 acres.
Okay.
And then the commercial-wise, those two still stand, the 45 and 45. That's still out there but never been approved yet, but that's still possible. And then when you go down the commercial, Highway 4, I've got the 1 5-acre site, but I'm not sure about 5. I don't know what the number 5 represents, either 5 EDUs or what?
EDUs.
Yeah. And so I may bump that up a little bit as commercial,
right.
Only because commercial, you tend to be a higher density commercial today,
right.
Like a restaurant, yeah. Or washing machine place or whatever it might be.
So obviously we have a little crystal ball, a little bit going on here. But we're going to work on the issue of what should our flow be, like based on data. We'll provide this from Virgil, but my goal is by the next meeting we're gonna come back and say this is what we're trying to do. This is it. So we're gonna pick and get your input on that. You know, before we go running off and saying, you know, and doing all the work. You have to start with how much water.
Yeah.
And that's the number one thing that deals with.
With this big revision from 722 down to 116, are all those homes online now?
They are. A majority of them are online, and there are some that are being built today. They pulled the building permit already, and the other 40, they have not pulled the building permit.
Right. Well, where I was going with that is we haven't seen much of an increase even with those homes.
Yeah. So even those homes came online, our flow still went down. That's not unusual. That's been happening all over the state.
They're putting a lot of energy efficient devices in the homes today.
Which is one of our neighbors here, they, from 2008, built 3,000 homes. Their flow never moved. You know, it never moved. You know, coming out of the recession and the drought and all that, all the water conservation and stuff, never moved. But their loading went up. Their BOD loading went up 30%. You know, so they didn't see them flow. They saw the BOD loading. It's been a little tricky for us because we haven't seen it in the loading, you know.
A little bit. Like our holidays,
yeah.
The long vacation days, we have.
Okay.
It shoots up.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's still about the low flow water.
Yeah, you know, obviously water problem. You know, people still eat the same amount of food. They still have bathroom, right? But there's just less water.
Less water.
Yeah, there's less water. You know, kind of thing. So, but that's going to be the big struggle to start the plant. And so I wanted to get that out, let you know.
assuming that's the lot across from the steakhouse.
Correct.
And then Discovery Bay and Willow Lake, I'm assuming it's the church property right here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, a church and the here, but right now I'm using that 80 that they have approached us to build 80 condos.
Yeah, well, that's up here in residential as a building.
Yeah.
That's right. That lot. And I think this 5 is for this lot over here. My other, but I did enlighten me with regards to the Bixler Business Park and the Marsh Street Office Park and where that is on this map.
Right next to the post office.
Yeah,
the post office. Do you know where that's at?
Yeah, I've
never been there.
So
that's the
other side of the post office.
Right behind the post office, and then on
okay.
the north side of that post office.
That's
it's part of it. It's going to be. It's the Bixler Business Park.
Okay.
And then past that, where the Brandt's house is, where the cattle were. The cattle is the Marsh Creek office.
But that doesn't fall inside of our red line.
No, but that's in the urban limit line, but not our boundary line.
So one does and one doesn't.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So we just included.
I didn't realize we had potential commercial property.
Yeah, but the problem is the power lines.
Right.
There's power lines and natural gas lines underneath there.
Yeah.
So it makes it really restrictive.
Right. But it says OF for office here, right there.
That are both of those falling within that OS area?
The OF is the first one.
And the ALPS is the second one.
Yeah, the AL is the second one, right?
Gotcha. Okay. I just wanted to make sure if anybody mentioned it.
So the real thing is politically, if there's somebody laying around out to the beach that's gonna come around submarinas at the end of the job like they did last time, we can find out up front. You know what I mean? Are we leaving somebody out? Last time,
we
did the whole plan, and then people come out of the work and say, you forgot me. And then we had to revise the plan afterwards.
Well, this is why I think that we should do something that we both, you do these numbers as we kind of pre-discussed here. You do a presentation before the board, so the whole board has input. But at that meeting, we do a push to notify the public that this is their time to make a public comment, to come in and watch all this stuff. So if you give me a heads up on what date you want to do that, where you think you'll be, we'll start, you know, put the signboards out, we'll do an email blast.
We know some key players we want to get a hold of, like Mark Pantages, and there's a new guy in Newport now, I think.
Yeah, there is.
And let them know that they can come and say their piece.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also that will just get the word into the community, development community, to pass that board along. It'll move like wildfire.
Okay.
So that's the end of that topic. We are planning to come back in 30 days with more information, like a draft final, I'll say. But that's the process we're going through right now. Okay. And then with that, if there's no more questions on that, we're going to go on to the next item.
I'm sorry. The next item is updated for what stands at, correct? Item 2?
Yeah, on the master.
Okay.
So one comment I have about this issue.
Do me a favor, introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Verbally, so we have on.
Yeah. My name is Steve Beck. I work for Stantec Consulting Services. We've been hired to update the master plan, do a master plan update. My role on this job is the principal in charge, kind of herding cats, make sure you get the right people working on this. I'm responsible for the budget. Make sure you get this thing done on time.
Thank you.
So one comment before we kind of get into our progress so far on this. Just want to give you an example, because I think it's a very important issue about projecting flows and stuff like that. I've always felt like one of the flaws that we have with when we decide how many people we can serve in a community based on flows is that when we design a wastewater treatment plant, you have to look at not only the flows, but you have to look at what we call organic loading, like rates of DOD coming to the plant. And so just real quickly, a couple months ago, we were contacted by one of our clients, City of Merced, and they're starting to feel development pressure, people knocking on the door and saying, can you serve me, and stuff like that. They have a wastewater treatment plant that has an average dry water flow of 12 MGD. The G plant operator updated since the last time it was looked at. And to no one's surprise, what we saw is, because they had the same thing going on. Their population is growing, but their flows have kind of been flatlined. They're about 8 MGD, 8.5 MGD. But every year, there's population, since the recovery, the population is growing. They haven't had a lot of new industry in town. But anyway, so what we discovered going through this, going through the analysis, is that although the flows haven't come up, the organic loading to the plant has. And so when we design a treatment plant, we look at total pounds of BOD. We look at the total mass load. Can we treat the total mass load? But to help translate that into something that people can understand, we talk in terms of concentration. And so when the original design was done at Merced, we had a design BOD concentration of 220 milligrams per liter per parts per million. When we look at the data, the most recent data, it indicates that it's closer to 278 milligrams per liter, meaning there's been a 23% increase in the BOD concentration. So what does that mean? What does that mean for treatment plant capacity? So we go through the whole analysis, we model this thing to do this. What it means is that the treatment plant can no longer treat on an average dry weather basis 12 MGD, it can only treat 10.9. But because of the fact that the wastewater treatment plant has a higher less water, but a higher concentration, the number of people that can be served by the treatment plant actually, when we went to the analysis, actually went up, if that makes sense to you. So you have, we can treat less flow, but we can actually treat more people, more per capita people, when you go through the analysis on this thing. So what's important at some point, and I noticed this, for example, right now we have a, when we look at EEUs, we use a number of 335 gallons per day per unit. The question is going to be moving forward.
It's table 1-2, the second page.
So the question.
Table A1-2, the first number in the
right.
Column to the right there.
So the question is going to be is that an appropriate number moving forward? And the question is the gut check on this are we going to continue to see water conservation, or are we going to see things go back to, quote, some sort of normal water use? And that's a hard question for anybody to answer. You know, the state's mandating, I don't think anybody remember 335, how many per capita is that for you? Three?
Yeah, it's
3.1. We base that on number of homes and population.
So let's say
at the time our flows were high.
Yeah. So let's say that it's it equates to like 3 per capita on average, okay? That means that your per capita sewage flow is 100 gallons per capita. Well, if the state comes back and says they're going to mandate 55,
you cut that in half.
Yeah, you cut that in half. So, you know, whether they ever get down to that number or not, who knows? But I suspect that there's probably moving forward, at least for the next decade. I don't think things are going to go back to
what they were.
It'd be hard to imagine they go down to 55 from where we are. But it's certainly, I think there's going to continue to be water conservation and innovative things to save water. So that's kind of an important question that kind of needs to be answered on this.
So is this an efficiency thing? Is it coming down to efficiency thing? Is that what
it
comes down to?
Yeah, basically, okay. It's it comes down to, you know, we went through the drought, right? And so we were all mandated to have cut water usage by a certain percentage. You had a tiered system, you paid more for this water. I think people did a pretty good job. I live up in the Sacramento area, and they were able to meet their conservation goals. Now that the drought is a lot, now that we know I have a drought, the thought was, well, people are going to go back to their old ways and do that, and they're not seeing that. They're still seeing that people are conserving what they got used to doing. So, anyways, it's an important factor. And out of convenience, we like to use float as easy to quantify and measure, right? So, you know, if we got a treatment plant that's 2.35 MGD divided by flow per unit, you can calculate how many units you can serve. But in reality, you also have to look at the loading, organic loading to that. So that factors into it. And sometimes it gets a little confusing because, like, geez, you know, I think it would be a mistake to assume that, geez, we really haven't seen flows coming up. So maybe we really have more capacity at a wastewater treatment plant than we realize because the flows, the projected flows haven't come up where they are. So that, you know, that could be a wrong assumption that we really have this abundant capacity for this treatment plant. That may or may
not. We've got past history on our loading. Is there a way to do an analysis of the flows were interesting, but just go back and look at the loading as these new homes are coming online and try to get some sort of a number? The loading goes up X amount
per
house.
Yeah, so we measure those numbers, and Bernie measures those numbers, and that's part of what we're going to try and look at, get our hands right off.
Yeah. So that would give us more realistic analysis of how much flow will go through.
So that's the one
we have to see to look at incomes.
Right? It's kind of a check on this thing. If we have a pretty good handle on how many, what our population is in the community, we know that historically for certain demographics that, you know, folks produce so many pounds of feed with BOD, you know, it does change slightly for, like, active, doing this stuff, we notice that some certain active adult communities have different characteristics than, you know, younger population. That all factors into it, but basically there's a kind of a range that you see on a per capita basis. So it's always a good check for us to go back and see. In fact, even we did some of that even on the last master plan to go back and look. And here's where we kind of get tripped up on things. Sometimes we become so reliant on what the sampling data at the plant tells us. Yeah, sometimes it trips us up on really what might be going on. And I think our situation here is exactly that. If we were to take the data over the last several years and look at that, the data seems to report that our BOD concentrations have actually gone down, which is somewhat a mystery because it's contrary to everything else that we're seeing for valley communities, Manteca, Merced, other places where we worked. We've seen flows not come up, but we've seen organic loading increase higher than the flows,
right,
which can be attributed to water conservation. But I think there's some very good anecdotal evidence when we talked to the operators, talked to Murphy about this, that what he reported to us is that, you know, even though we were reporting that the BOD concentrations are lower, when we operate the plant, we know we have to run more aerators and oxidation ditches. Even though our flows are here, you know, we're having to, you know, just the amount of energy and stuff to
operate the time.
Yeah, comes up. So I think there's some things that are worth that we have to investigate here and make sure that we are absolutely comfortable with the data that we have.
Like I said, you know, we notice during holiday seasons, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, when everybody just at home, our loading goes up quite a bit, and obviously it's just run a little harder at some time. And we have to look at our community. It's basically a family community. Most of the people are home during the day, home at night, but there's no restaurants to say in town, so most people go out of town to eat. So we're, you know, if they're sleeping, leaving, unless there's someone, and then we have a lot of rental properties in town where a lot of houses are empty most of the time, on weekends or during the summer.
Yeah. So here's an outlet. And correct me, Bernie, if this would be kind of an assumption that, let's say that over the last 3 or 4 years, flows were flat. Say flows were about 7. This is somewhat hypothetical, but I think it pertains to this. Say flows were pretty much the same for the last 3 years. But then, as you're operating this plant, you realize,
geez, it seems like I've got to run, to treat the flow now, I've got to run two ditches, I've got to run the aerators more than I did 3 or 4 years ago. In other words, you know, I'm having to get the same level of treatment, I'm having to run my aerators longer, run more air, you know what I'm saying on that? That would be anecdotal evidence that something's going on where you're having to treat a higher organic load of time. So we want to take in the interest of keeping this master plan on schedule, we do want to take that step and make sure that we fully understand this, because I've never been comfortable with not having a good explanation for something happening. There's always a reason things happen, and sometimes, you know, we have a tendency, well, we're just going to throw up our hands, it is what it is. I don't think that's acceptable when you're doing this type of planning. There's got to be, if you got flows going down, or you have BOD numbers that are lower concentration now than they were 3 or 4 years ago, let's try to understand why that is. And just from experience, I'll tell you that oftentimes it just has to do with the sampling. It has to do with things that are other than something strange in this community. Like, okay, I'm not willing to accept the fact that this community, the Democrats in this community, is so much different than, say, Manteca or Merced, that magically we've got loading this, you know, we've got organic.
I would say that your analysis about, you know, there's a lot of second homes out in here, people are leaving and coming back, but from here forward, those aren't going to be rental properties, those are going to be young families in there with 2 to 3 or 4 kids.
What you're saying is we're not an anomaly, let's find out why it's different.
Yeah, and there's been some suggestion that, you know, because, like Bernie mentioned, that, you know, this is a lot of people commute, they work, they don't eat in town, they go to restaurants outside of town, that you know, maybe some of that, you know,
that
some of
that would be an interesting thing to do. You're noticing that the holidays and vacations, Thanksgiving and all that stuff, does those other communities also show an increase, or does theirs stay about the same during those times?
Yeah, so the best day to figure out what your highest load of treatment is going to be is going to be at Super Bowl Sunday.
Okay.
Every single treatment plant I've ever been involved with. Super Bowl Sunday is what you want to know when your extreme loads are going to be at the plant.
There's a town somewhere that nobody's flushing toilets because everybody's at everybody else's house, you know? Everybody's at Mike's house.
So,
but to your point, in 24 years, we've gone from a lot of weekend homes. These are not weekend homes anymore. These are full-time, occupied, you know, commute homes. The demographics from that standpoint here in Discovery Bay, you know, it's changed from where it was used to be, you know, 60% retired, 40% working, and now it's 70% working, 30% retired, because we're just another urban development for the Bay Area.
Right. So anyways, The point of that, this whole discussion is that there's some work to do to get to this, because it's very important to project this, because what decisions we make about that are going to impact everything else that we do on this planning, and, you know, what it's going to cost to provide treatment, the whole issue about denitrification, and what's the best way to do that, those costs, all
engineering for the next 30 days or whenever our next meeting is. We're going to try and analyze.
Try to get a handle.
Our plan going forward is we're going to take about a year to get this plan done. Okay. So our plan is to start bringing pieces to this meeting and keep looked at it, and we have other master plans. We're updating for new flows and new changes in the community and stuff. But we all gotta feel like we got there together because we are gonna spend some money to solve some of these problems. Steve's got some other shorthands. I know we only got about 5 minutes on this topic, so you can jump.
So anyways, real quickly, I went ahead and printed out. We did have a formal kickoff meeting, and so we to kind of get things started. That was on August 23rd, and so what we're doing right now, we're in the process of collecting the data from the plan, going through that, looking at the historical data, flows and loads since the last time it was looked at. Trying to settle things over the next month about population projections, get all this stuff figured out. But the one thing useful about the meeting minutes here that I thought might be useful for this group is if you go through the left column, we kind of go list out all of these items that are going to be addressed in the master plan update. And there's a whole host of things. And this is a combination of things that that have to be dealt with, the process, how are we going to address the permit requirements for removing nitrogen denitrification on this. And there are a whole host of things that the operator went through and said, please, with the master plan update, can you look at these items? So they're all listed here. You could also find these items if you look at our scope of work, too. It's no different than that.
So this is a short form outline of what we're going to do next year. And that's for you to kind of peruse and see what we're going to do next year. And then Steve's attached the schedule. The schedule being passed around right now.
Yeah, so you kind of see, like Greg mentioned, we're going to take a good part of a year to make sure that this is done correctly, or go through this thoroughly, methodical way, go through all these steps, do the interim analysis, and then write up the report. So the expectation is that we'd be finished by May 2019, and along the way there'll be a number of progress meetings to go over this. And I'm happy to come to this this meeting and report our progress on that anytime you want me to come to that. So even though that's not identified in the schedule, I have no issue with coming and talking to you guys.
All right.
And see what we got. Okay.
So any questions on the process?
Not for me, but sounds like you guys are thinking through it pretty well.
Yeah, I like it. It seems like a long time to complete the project, but I'd rather it, you know, this is our next 10 years, so I think it's important to do the analysis and address the anomalies if there are any.
All right, so we're now ready to go on item 3.
Any public comment on item 2? Item 3.
So,
diffuser.
Part of your, do you guys have your packet? Part of your packet was a letter from Stantec.
Yep.
So I previously gave a copy of the final report from Worley Parsons related to our diffuser analysis, right? So in summary, our diffuser is half plugged up along the shore of the river, and we need to repair it to get it back to functioning properly because it's now impacting our ability to pump wastewater out of the facility. So Worley Parsons investigated a lot of options. There's a lot of permitting conditions, a lot of permitting things to consider when you go into the old river, because you have Army Corps impacts and then you have NPDES permit impacts also. We sent a tentative budget of around $500,000 to basically kind of deal with the problem. But we need to get down to the specifics. Now part of that, so we had a draft report prepared, and then part of the scope of the master plan was sort of to, you know, review the report also, give us your input on it. And, you know, so we recommendations in Mr. Chaffee's report that impacted the PDS permit, and we wanted to get their input on those recommendations and sort of head towards a consensus of what do we do next. So we did a study, there's some options, there's some costs thrown out, we put a tentative budget on it, but we got to get down to, okay, what are we going to do next, specifically, what are we going to do next? And I think that the recommendations from Stantec were pretty good. If you go to the last page of their letter, let's see here, I guess the second to last page.
Memo conclusion.
Yeah, memo conclusions. It says evaluation conclusions and recommendations. Basically, they kind of agreed with the report, the recommendation report. So we recommend the town contact Close Science and Stantec regarding the ESMO dispersion model and the pollution credits. With those evaluations in hand, we recommend the town contact the regional water board to push pollution, dilution credits, and mixing zone issues. Further recommend the town that community opinions are qualified, seek a need for consultant with extensive experience in Delta waterways to the relative environmental complex and risk costs associated with each of the four options. We see no fatal flaws in any options from the NPS permitting perspective at this point. Dilution credit for a 3 to 5 port design is the most critical NPS permit issue. So other recommendations that were previously given, they were basically four options. They all involved rebuilding the diffuser in some manner. Some of them making it shorter. One of those options was to reduce the number of ports from the 30 or so ports we have now down to 3 to 5. But the whole point of the diffuser was we were under an NPDES permit to go build that diffuser to get dilution in Old River. And so the conclusion that they're saying is, hey, we should probably reevaluate, do you still need those dilution credits? Has the world changed around here? And the regulatory environment changed to the point so you can significantly modify this diffuser or not. Because that's the first question is, put in what we have now again, or try and simplify it and put in something a little shorter or a little different. Well, that affects our NPDES permit. So their primary recommendation here is, you know, you need to do an analysis of, can, you know, we had a reason for that mixing zone, we had a reason for building it the way we did, but that reason was all the way back in 2002. You know, now we're quite a bit farther down the road. Does that reason still exist? And that can lead us towards making a decision about, let's start eliminating options. We have four options right now. We need to start eliminating options we're not going to do so that we can focus on what's our path forward. So the first step to eliminate options we're not going to do is find out, do we have to build the same diffuser again or not? And that's going to entail an engineering analysis and then going to the regional board and asking them, hey, do we need to do this anymore? Is our dilution sufficient enough now that this is needed?
Well, the quality of water coming out of the plant now was in 2002.
Yeah.
It's significant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so
exactly.
What if we took the approach that we just assume we'll make a presentation without asking them, can we include it? We have concluded that if we do this and this and this, our dilution rate would be better than what it was permitted then.
Yeah, we would present it that way, but we still need a response.
Right.
Before we proceed forward. So, and then the other part of that is you're going to go into Old River. There's a trigger level between the easy way to go into Old River in terms of permitting and then the hard way. Like, wow, you guys are really going to stir up the river and you're going to have a lot of problems. We had to get an Army Corps permit when we built it. It took us a year to get that permit. It helped that we were under a cease and desist order, but they never really even finished and gave us the permit. You know, it was kind of like this. We applied and they never got back to us, and we had a cease and desist order, so we just went and built it. But if you're in a position where you don't have that kind of legal proof to push you into it, it could be problematic to get that. So the second recommendation is contact a CEQA NEPA specialist to advise us on all the four options. The regional board might have a concern about one or two, but one of these two might be much more difficult than the other one in terms of your permitting process for there. So they're essentially recommending the next step path is, hire more consultants, but essentially do another study specifically on those two issues. The NEPA CEQA consultant would be a different engineering firm, I think. evaluation with the regional board, and then a CEQA NEPA specialist in relation to construction issues. And I don't know if those are cost yet, but I would still get proposals and bring it back. So that would be that's my recommendation that I received.
So one of the, just in very simple terms, these different options, one of the things that are permitting folks look at seem to make sense to them is that you have this diffuser, the pipe starts out at 16 inch in diameter, and it's designed to step down over twice.
Yeah.
As we understand it, the plugging is in smaller diameter sections.
Yeah.
And so the thought is, you know, one of the options is tear the whole thing out, build it differently, but from a least disturbance environment, why not just take the plug section, just rebuild that part, disturbing less of the river doing that, and then instead of doing the step down, smaller diameter, why not just go 16 inches diameter all the way out, put some sort of flushing valve on the end, so that you have the capability of being able to flush it. So, but in order to do that, you got to, somebody has to go through the hydraulics and see, okay, well, there's a reason that somebody designed this stepping it down, because they're trying to get equal distribution through all the diffusers. Does it still work that way if you just have a 16-inch pipe? My suspicion is it probably still works. Maybe you don't get exact distribution, equal flow through every one of the diffusers, but I think that, because we designed one of these for the town of Rio Vista, city of Rio Vista, very similar. And so I know a little bit about this. So I think that from a permitting environment standpoint, it makes sense, hey, instead of disturbing the entire thing, does it make sense that let's just disturb the tail end where the plugging is, and then decision, hydraulic, does it make sense when you put it back, why not just extend the 16-inch pipe?
Why don't we just cut the existing one off
right
now, move over, dig it over, put a whole new one in.
Something like,
you have to dredge it because it's under the river floor and the diffusers are sticking out of the floor.
Well, that's the way it was.
Yeah, so in the report, they talked about just putting a new one right on top, some other things, but they all had permitting issues related to different reasons.
But if you put it on top, the flow, the current in there, you have to put some type of weight in that to hold that down so it doesn't shift on the floor of the river.
I think we definitely need to look to somebody that has experience with the governmental agency so that there's a relationship there that they can talk and negotiate the reality. So what are you looking for from us on this?
Well, basically permission to go out and get some proposals.
That's
pretty good. We have a budget, but we have to spend some money. But what I want to spend at the moment, not enough money, just go get some proposals and bring them back and talk about it. But, you know, I want to basically get some proposals to identify these need the CEQA specialists, the modeling. And
right.
And
I think we need to do that because we have to take a full board.
And I
can approve it. So.
That's
right. And of course, I need to get some proposals to you guys. You know, let's see if we can write something out or whatever. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know the answer yet. And I'll get a proposal, bring it back, we'll talk about
it. That's something you'd be able to do next week.
I don't know if I can do it in 2 weeks. Probably not, because to get a proposal from somebody, I have to find scope and then they have to get it back to me. After 2 weeks, we can talk about the next meeting.
Well, where I was going with that is the.
Let's see. Before you're back.
You guys are going to come back in 30 days with a plan. And then you're saying you're going to come back also in 30 days with a suggestion.
Some scopes.
Yeah, I haven't had a problem listening to both same time. I just want to make sure you get it done during those time.
Right.
All right.
And 2 weeks would be tough, I think. Just
that's fine.
Okay. All right, so that includes.
I have a question, though.
Uh-huh.
Reclamation districts, they have a discharge 200 feet, I guess, south of us.
Right.
And they only have one diffuser.
Right.
And so when you look at anywhere in the morning to noon, if they shut off at noon to get electricity, go in the middle of Old River, you see boils going there because they're pumping from the farmland into the river.
Yeah.
But they don't have the requirements that we do for blending and for mixing in there, like Rec 800. So I assume Rec 800 doesn't need a permit, NDS, MPDS permit, to put that water in.
No.
That's tail water from the farm, yeah. With the, right. Not pharmaceutical, but the fertilizers and whatever else is in there.
They don't need an MPDS permit. They did need an
agricultural permit. Agriculture, they don't need permits.
Yeah.
Gus, water,
So if there's no further on that, then that's the end of item 3.
Okay. Item 4, let's talk about the water main replacement.
Item 4 is what?
That's water main replacement on Newport. Can I introduce you?
Yeah. Give one to the lady in the back, the young lady in the back. The young lady. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Bernie needs one. I'm sorry. Somebody should have an extra one. There we go. Thanks. This is a snapshot view looking down on Edgeview Drive and looking at that number 5490 Edgeview Drive. It's a corner house. Starting from there and heading towards your right should be a red line on your document there.
Yeah.
Going right through the driveways, the edges of the garages and that. That's our water line, the town water line. That's how it sits today on that block. Also in that property is a sewer line, but the sewer line is closer to the curb, 5 to 8 feet away from the curb, roughly, in the driveway still. A couple of weeks ago, at 5490, we had a water leak, and the water leak was underneath the guy's driveway, so I had to cut out a square. Just to cut out the square, the main is 5.5 feet deep, so to do that work cost us just a hair over $6,000. Okay, and that's not putting the concrete back yet. I still have that to do. And so that's going to cost whatever that is, amount. The rest of the homes, there are 17 homes, I believe, on that side of the street. Hang on one sec, let me grab my, 15 homes, rather. 17 homes are on that side of the street. That a lot of them have custom concrete driveways. They have a lot of fancy landscaping. This is a 6-inch asbestos concrete pipe. This is twice on this line, on this street, where it has split in the main, and we've had to put what we call clamps. And I'll show you a picture of that if you want to push. The blue is a clamp down on the water line, and the other picture is the backhoe and the dump truck sitting in the driveway, how close we are to the homes, and it makes it unsafe. I mean, you really got to be on top of it for both the operators and the workers there. Anyway, I want the board or the committee to think about moving that main into the street itself and getting it out of there. Asbestos concrete pipe, over time, it becomes soggy because if you think of it like a paper straw in a way, it gets soggy and it eventually will start to break. We notice on this break is there's when you lay pipe in the ground, put water pipe, sewer pipe, you put bedding material like sand or pea gravel. There's none of that here. It is strictly they lay it on land and they covered it up with native dirt, native soil.
Ruin your presentation.
That's right.
The end result is you need to put a new line in down the middle of the street.
That's correct. Okay. We're thinking about it, but we might want to make it maybe a higher priority. We haven't put money aside for a capital improvement, or maybe we'll work up a plan and put it on for 19.
This is our second.
Main break crack around.
In that run?
Huh?
In that run?
On that run.
We think that's the only place.
We know that's the only place in that street.
Why they would do that?
Underneath the driveways, right up close to the garage doors.
So this not only affects those homeowners, it affects the people across the street because you're running their line all the way in.
Right.
But here's the problem, liability-wise, I worry about for the district. If that main breaks more, closer to the driveway, can undermine the foundation of that driveway, costing us more money, or our insurance carrier money. which then drives up our rates. So we need to think about moving that.
From a priority standpoint, I would think, based on what I'm seeing here, we need to resolve this sooner rather than later.
I just have a question. Is it safe to say there's an easement for the current alignment of the water line through the driveway?
Oh, yeah.
Through that area. So it was established that
sewer,
way.
All the common utilities are all in those driveways.
How about within the road? Does the town have public utility? Is it a public utility easement road? Being that it's in the golf course.
We have it going across the street, and what they do is they make it the whole street. Because you're serving sewer and water to the
home. So you could use it into the street without any sort of need to obtain easements or anything.
Yeah, they don't have it.
I just was concerned with the golf course area.
Yeah, but it does have it going across the street. It just names the whole street.
Those are lateral lines. So we need to just double check if we do with a main down there.
We have the same kind of HOA and getting permission for the road.
That's already approved.
Okay.
We're leaving the
rubber stamp.
We're leaving the sewer as it is. But we're moving the water.
Yeah, and if you get to keep the spacing off the sewer, but obviously if everything's off the street, then the street's pretty, there's a lot of real estate, so to speak, in the paved roadway to place the water.
It's easier if you had a leak to dig up there and replace it quicker than you are in the driveway.
It is a concern, though, if you only witness that in this stretch between
Clubhouse Drive
and St. Andrews.
Mm-hmm. That's the only stretch of road in all of Discovery Bay where we have the utility center like that.
Oh, is it? This is the only stretch?
The only other exceptions are we have 11 water crossings where we go through somebody's backyard between two homes with a water main, and we go underneath the bays and come up on the other end. We have 11 of those bays. So 22 homes.
So pretty straightforward replacement then, so long as you have an easy road.
Sure. Virgil's going to make sure that we get this on the CIP.
Yeah. Just want to let you be aware of the situation.
Who
owns the golf course? Private one. But the HOA owns the roads.
That bedding is kind of a concern. Seeing no bedding, no pipe protection. Yeah.
There's no bedding at all.
I
thought the first one was just a mistake.
Yeah.
But the second one, when I saw it, then we know it's got to
see. Is that common when you guys go to replace the brakes to see bedding material and see the sand? So you can verify it.
Okay.
Yes, we want to move forward with that post-haste and put it in the budget and keep it on the list.
Work with Dean and the man.
Okay, item 5.
I'm going to pass around. I have a few things left. I've already handed a few of these out, but
I think they have some.
Speak for the two board members.
I think
you already have one of these, Mike.
I think it's part of the. No, it's not part of the.
No, I'll try this out before.
Oh, it's right here.
I just received bids. I'll keep it brief. Just wanted to report on the.
Okay, go ahead.
So I just wanted to report on the budget for the bids that we received for the Newport PLC project. Just as briefly, just you guys probably remember, but we went and bid this project in January. This is the kind of project we need to do during the winter low demand season. So we were kind of pushing the schedule at that time in terms of when we were able to produce the specs and get out to bid in January. And so we were hoping to get a lot of bids at the time, of course, as we always are. We got two bids in January, and the two costs were pretty far apart from each other relatively, and both in January, that is, resulted in exceeding the budget. So we said, well, given the fact that we're pushing the schedule, we only got two bids, we don't like the numbers, we're going to rebid the project, so we rejected all bids. We went ahead, we made some minor modifications to the specs, and working with Veolia, the electrical engineer, and rebid the project in August. We got costs. We got four bids this time, so that's much better. And this time the numbers are pretty much in the same area, you know, same cost, you know, magnitude basically as the previous bids. Previously we had a cost of 178, I believe, was the low, and then the high was around 240. So that's kind of what we still have this time. So the takeaway is we rebid the project. Now we have four bids, and it's kind of corroborating, I guess, the cost that we got before. So the end result is it is going to result in more than what the project's budgeted for in the CIP, slightly.
What do we have a budget?
So right now it's a $250,000 budget, but some of that went towards the engineering and the bidding process.
Do you know what's left?
Yeah, there's 190 left. Yeah, there's 190 left, but there's still the services for the electrical engineer and for our company for the management of the project and seeing that through. So there's about 100 and...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I had a note here.
Yeah, sorry.
There's about 150 that was estimated for the construction early on. So this was a budget number that was kind of carried over from several years ago, and we've been seeing prices increase in labor and in material prices. And you know, we move forward with the cost just to see what the bids would come at. But we're kind of anticipating prices would be going up based on what we saw in January. So this time around, we have the low bid from ICAD Lighthouse Electric. We have two prices. We basically have a base price for the bulk of the project, the PLC panels and the programming and the SCADA and the startup. And this is all taking place on the Newport site. And the communication would be from the cellular network that Veolia has been using rather than radios. So it was anticipated to be about the same as the Willow Lake and probably a little bit less. But it looks like prices are just kind of going up. We had an alternate item, bid item A1, which was for trenching and conduits. And the reason for that is there's three different PLCs on the site. It's actually one PLC and two remote input-output units. They need to communicate with each other, and the best way for those to communicate on site is with a direct linkage. And evaluating the as-builds, there were some spare conduits that could be used. So we plan on using those conduits, but in the event that there's something wrong with those conduits and we cannot use them to run the wires through the Ethernet wires, then we would be trenching and putting in conduits. So there's an alternate item for that. So right now, we don't know if we'll need the alternate item, but if we did have the need for it, the total cost from the low bid would be $214,000. Just say $215,000.
Based on the bid, the way I'm looking at it, ICAD doesn't do trenching, and so
yeah,
they don't want to do it. Put $50,000 in and make sure they're covered. If
yeah,
you did need it, you could hire a separate.
That's true.
Contractor to come in that does trenching and get it
absolutely
done.
At absolutely.
$16,000 to $18,000.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't have to hire them for trenching.
Hire Bachman and Woody Electric.
Well, you know, I just like shop this. I could do this whole thing for about $140,000, but just none of these are consistent across the board. It's ridiculous.
No. I mean, but they're all using a different mixture of subs. So some of them are baking the panels themselves.
No,
some of them are
designing all the rest of them. All over the scale.
Right. It just depends on where the engineering is. So I think with ICAD, they do their own engineering and fabrication, so they're building a lot of the equipment themselves.
And there are some qualified bidders.
They are, so we're not done with the thorough review. They were on our list because we felt they were qualified, but I still want to go through with the fine-tooth comb and just make sure we meet all the qualifications. But they were one of the ones that we were hoping would bid the project. They've worked with our electrical engineer on other SCADA PLC.
Well, we have three within $15,000 of each other, so that's good news.
Yeah.
Leave the trenching out.
They're way over.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
So you've got a red number on your agenda.
So this was, we wanted to have some kind of an estimate before the bids were open, so this is kind of out the window.
Okay.
This was ultimately...
We're not 97.5 in the hole now then.
definitely.
I can't make those numbers work.
No. Definitely.
Be less.
This was.
Huh?
Be a lot less.
It's
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Based on what we saw
in January, what we've seen on other projects, we wanted to be a little bit preemptive on where the budgets might be going.
Right. We just wanted to keep you appraised and but we're going to try and save as we go along.
At this point, it looks like even with their base bid, if we don't need the trenching and conduit, we still might be running over about $7,000 on the budget. So we're not under budget with these bids, unfortunately.
The only thing that we discussed here today that's not on our budget is that water main, is that correct? Everything else, we discussed things that are not on the CIP.
Correct.
Okay. No other surprises today. Anything else? Let's see. Future discussion agenda items. So obviously, these facilities are going to carry over. We already discussed that.
Yep.
We want to move forward. That's the future thing we've got to do.
We're taking bids for the Well 2, Well 4A rehab project. So this is something that's on the CIP. To do a rehab on 4, and it kind of relates back to the testing that we did on the pumps last year. So 4A is dropping off in specific capacity, and you really have to stay ahead of those things.
That's at Newport?
This is the one at Newport. Yeah. And then also at Well 2, we're doing pump upgrades, because that pump hasn't been cold in over 17, 18 years probably. So it's time for that one.
And that's old life.
We're getting pumps along, so I put it on the agenda for next time.
Okay. Anything else? Any other agenda items that anybody wants to make us aware of at this point? Hearing none.